The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Second Canto, Chapter Number 7, Text Number 46. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on December 9th, 2016, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Te Vai Vedanti
Ati
Taranti
Cha
Devamayam Sri Shudra Huna Shabara Api Papa Jiva Yadi Adbhuta Krama Parayana Shila Siksha Triyak Jana Api Kim U Shruta Dharana Ye Te Vai Vedan Yati Taranti Cha Deva Mayam Sri Shudra Huna Shabara Pipapa Jiva Yad Yad Bhutakrama Parayana Shila Sikshas Teryag Jana Apikemu Shuta Dharanaye Te Vai Vedan Yati Taranti Cha Deva Mayam Sti Shudra Hunra Shabara Api Papa Jiva Yad Yad Bhutakrama Parayana Shila Sikshas Teryag Jana Epikamu Shruta Dharanaye Te such persons Vai undoubtedly Vedanti do know Ati Taranti surpass Cha also Devamayam the covering energy of the Lord Shri such as women Shudra the laborer class of men Huna the mountaineers Shabara the Siberians are those lower than the Shudras. Api, although, Papajiva, sinful living beings, Yadi, provided, Adbhuta Krama, one whose acts are so wonderful, Parayana, those who are devotees, Shila, behavior, Siksha, trained by, Tiryak Jana, even those who are not human beings, Api, also, Kim, what, U, to speak of, Shuttadharana, those who have taken to the idea of the Lord by hearing about Him. Yea, those, translation and purport, by His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Surrendered souls, even from groups leading sinful lives, such as women, the laborer class, the mountaineers and the Saririans, or even the birds and beasts, can also know about the science of Godhead and become liberated from the clutches of the illusory energy by surrendering unto the pure devotees of the Lord and by following in their footsteps in devotional service. Purport. Sometimes there are inquiries as to how one can surrender unto the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 18:66, the Lord asked Arjuna to surrender unto him, and therefore persons unwilling to do so question where God is and to whom they should surrender. The answer to such questions or inquiries is given herein very properly. The personality of Godhead may not be present before one's eyes, but if one is sincere in wanting such guidance, the Lord will send a bona fide person who can guide one properly back home, back to Godhead. There is no need of material qualifications for making progress on the path of spiritual realization. In the material world, when one accepts some particular type of service, he is required to possess some particular type of qualification also. Without this, one is unfit for such service. But in the devotional service of the Lord, the only qualification required is surrender. Surrendering oneself is in one's own hand. If one likes, he can surrender immediately without delay. And that begins his spiritual life. The bona fide representative of God is as good as God himself. Or in other words, the loving representative of the Lord is more kind and more easy to approach. A sinful soul cannot approach the Lord directly, but such a sinful man can very easily approach a pure devotee of the Lord. And if one agrees to put himself under the guidance of such a devotee of the Lord, he can also understand the science of God and can also become like the transcendental pure devotee of the Lord, and thus get his liberation back to Godhead, back to home, for eternal happiness. So, realization of the science of God and relief from the unnecessary, useless struggle for existence are not at all difficult for the willing candidate, but they are very difficult for persons who are not surrendered souls, but only simple, profitless speculators.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine.
This is a very, very important verse. Why? Because we're not like Arjuna being able to directly see Krishna standing on the chariot. Is it? We're 5,000 years separated from when Krishna was actually walking around on the earth. Is it? So, if Krishna is not directly there, how are you going to surrender? I can't see him. I can't fully understand him because I'm imperfect. So how does one actually surrender to Krishna? This is a very important verse. Krishna very kindly sends his representative. So by surrendering to the representative of Krishna, then Krishna accepts your service. In fact, Krishna states in the Adi Purana, he says, Yeme Bhakti Janav Partha na me bhaktishtate janaha. The one who is my devotee, O Arjuna, he is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. And as Prabhupada so poignantly points out here, Krishna, it's actually easier. A sinful soul cannot approach the Lord directly. Well, are we all pure? Are we all tainted by sin? You see, we are sinful people. We're tainted by sin. So for us to directly approach Krishna, Prabhupada says, cannot approach the Lord directly. But we can very easily approach through the pure devotee. Pure devotee makes it very easy. Just like Prabhupada, when he was here, it was so wonderful. He was so kind, he was so loving. He was so just full of mercy. It was unbelievable how much mercy, how kind was Prabhupada. You see, you write him a letter and you get the most amazing response. I mean, it was just overflowing with love. It was amazing. I had written many letters to people before in the material world, but no one ever wrote a letter like that. I mean, it's amazing. I went to the New York World's Fair back in the 60s and got some pen pal in Canada. So I was writing letters with this pen pal in Toronto. And it, you know, it wasn't that, it was maybe a little friendly, but it was nothing like getting a letter from Prabhupada. I mean, it's just so amazing how much love he put into that letter. You see? Even though I was a very sinful person coming from the hippie culture, hippies were very sinful people, you see. Here I was coming out of the hippie culture, very sinful young man, but Prabhupada was just so full of love, so full of kindness. You would just feel like you were drowning in that ocean of love. And he took so much personal concern. It's amazing how much personal concern he took. I was there at a Los Angeles temple back in 1971 visiting. And Prabhupada would go on the morning walk and they would drive him to the beach or to a park, and he would take the walk and they'd drive him back to the temple. So when he would come back in the car, there was a whole ritual we would do. We would greet Prabhupada when he came back to the temple. We would line, there was a sidewalk between the street and his apartment, which was in the back of the temple, upstairs. So he would come down this sidewalk. So we would line up along the sidewalk. Every devotee, we'd all get out there and line up along the sidewalk to greet him when he came back. And every devotee would have a flower, you see. You offer Prabhupada a flower. It was so wonderful. And Prabhupada had a basket of flowers, and he would offer you one back too. So you would have your own permit, your own moment with Prabhupada, just you and Prabhupada. It was like entering into timelessness. It's you and Prabhupada. You hand him a flower and he hands, you're right there looking at him, he's looking at you, you hand him a flower and he hands you a flower. It was so amazing. So I was there with my devotee who convinced me to surrender with Vishnu Janaswamy. So I was there with Vishnu Janaswamy, and he got more than a flower. He got a hug. He got a big hug from Prabhupada when Prabhupada got out of the car. Big, big hug of Vishnu Janaswamy. So I was really happy because, you know, I felt like I was getting a hug too because I was one of his men, you see. And then, well, Prabhupada's going on down the line, you know, slowly, slowly, one devotee, the next devotee, the next devotee, the next devotee, the next devotee. So there's a little stairway in front of the temple, you know, about 3 or 4 steps only. So I just, to actually see Prabhupada, if you can imagine standing there and actually seeing him, what it would be like. That pure devotee who's come all the way from Krishna Loka, one of Krishna's personal associates, has come actually into this world, you see. So, I wanted to get another darshan to Prabhupada when he came by. I call it like this. When you get that darshan of Prabhupada, you're drinking Prabhupada into your heart through your eyes, if you can understand what I mean. You're drinking him into your heart through your eyes. That's how powerful it was to see him. You just want to drink him into your heart, if you can understand my point.
drinking Prabhupada into your heart through your eyes. So I was there getting a good drink, wanting another good drink of Prabhupada's darshan as he came around the line and down the sidewalk going back to his apartment. So he notices me. The amazing thing, here I'm just some sinful character from Texas who just recently, you know, started following the principles. But he looks up at me. He sees I'm not in line with the other devotees. Of course, because I was in the line, but now I stepped out of the line to get this special darshan, you see. So Papa looks up at me. He sees I'm not in the line. And he's wondering, I wonder if he got a flower or not yet. Just see how kind he was. He was wondering, here's a boy who's not in the line. I wonder if he got a flower yet. So Prabhupada looked up at me. That was all bodily language. He looked at me. And he held up a flower like, did you get a flower yet? Body language and facial expression, you know, like, did you get one yet? He was so considerate. He wanted to make sure I had gotten a flower. And there was just a huge crowd of devotees there. And I was some wild character from Texas who just recently shaved off his long hippie hair, you know. And he wanted to make sure I got a flower. You see what I'm saying? So just see how merciful is the pure devotee. I just happened to be standing there and he wanted to make sure I got a flower. And I held up, I had it in my hand, I held up and said, yeah, and I showed him, yes, Prabhupada. It was all body language. I nodded my head and held up the flower with a big smile on my face. So Prabhupada noticed me. Prabhupada's blessing me with his mercy, you see. So in this way, the pure devotee is so merciful. The pure devotee is just overflowing with mercy. In fact, the pure devotee has so much mercy. He can flood the whole universe with that mercy. It's stated that one pure devotee, he can deliver the whole universe. And the amazing thing is, Prabhupada told us so many things about this. He said, he defined him at one time in a purport, what is a Krishna conscious being? Now, being means a person, you know. A being or the being is a person, so not an imperson. In other words, what does it mean to be Krishna conscious? Did you ever really think about what it really means to be Krishna conscious? We think, yeah, I'm Krishna conscious. We may think, yeah, I'm Krishna conscious. But how Krishna conscious are we really? Think about this. Prabhupada defines a Krishna conscious person in his purport. This is what it really means to be Krishna conscious. Prabhupada says, a Krishna conscious being is always thinking and planning how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. Do you do that when you wake up in the morning? Do you think, well, what can I do today to deliver the suffering humanity back to Godhead? We think about our sense gratification or our material arrangements. You see? This is the real definition of a Krishna conscious person. He's always thinking and planning how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. So one might think, wouldn't that be frustrating? I wouldn't want to meditate like that. Because what if I don't do it? What if I can't save the whole world? Wouldn't I be frustrated? Well, here Prabhupada explains like this. He says, he's always thinking and planning how to deliver all of the suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. And even if he's not successful in doing so, his perfection is guaranteed, and those who follow him will also achieve perfection. That's what it means to be Krishna conscious, you see. So how far off the mark are we thinking about, you know, so-and-so insulted me, or, you know, when can I eat, or I need some more money, or blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on, all of our material nonsense we have going around our brains, isn't it? Do you have any material nonsense going around your brain? Sure. We all have it. Let's admit it. We're fallen souls. I mean, I know one brahmachari, he liked to advertise that he was a pure devotee. And I remember one day, and I was surprised, and I was standing there in the temple, and he said, they just call me the Paramahamsa Brahmachari. Guess what happened? Very soon he blooped. He left the movement shortly after that, never to return. You see. So don't be proud thinking you're a Paramahamsa or you're a pure devotee, you see. Actually, if you're truly a Paramahamsa, you feel you're the most fallen, abominable snake in the whole universe. That's what a real Paramahamsa feels about himself, you see. So the more you can be humble and feel that I'm a sinful rascal, it's only by the mercy of Guru and Krishna I can get out of this quagmire I'm in right now, the more you can feel yourself very lowly and fallen, that's your spiritual advancement. And you know what it really means to be advanced in Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada describes this in his purport in the Bhagavad Gita. What it means to be truly advanced in Krishna consciousness. This is really an amazing point. What it means to be truly advanced, you see. When it was just like, actually the material energy and the spiritual energy are both energies of Krishna. It's not that the material energy is not Krishna's energy. It's just like the prison, you see. The material energy is like the prison. The spiritual energy is like being out of the prison, isn't it? Now, if you're a criminal, to be in the prison, that's bad news. They chain you to maybe a ball and chain, in the old days, or you're locked in your cell, and you know you can't do anything much. You're stuck. You see, you're a prisoner. But what if you're many years ago, I was a chaplain in the prison. You know what a chaplain is? Yeah, I would go every week as a minister into the prison, and I would preach to the inmates. We had a program in the chapel, a Hare Krishna program in the chapel, and we had a Saturday love feast. We had a feast and kirtan and lecture. It was very ecstatic. So I would go. I was in the prison, but my experience of being in the prison was not the same as the inmates who were in the prison. They were all sitting in the same room together, but my experience of being in that room, I could. After the program, going back to the temple, you see. But they're stuck in the prison. So my experience, we were both sitting in the same room, but my experience of that room was different from theirs. You understand my point? Because they're inmates and I'm just the chaplain. So in the same way, one who is highly advanced in Krishna consciousness, even though he's here in this material world, he doesn't feel like he's in the material world. You see? He's not pinched by the modes of material nature, because he doesn't identify with his body at all. He just sees it as an instrument he can use in Krishna's service. He doesn't think, oh, this is me. He just thinks, this is something that Krishna has given me to use in his service, that's all. So therefore, one who is highly advanced in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada explains, he directly experiences Krishna everywhere. So what about us poor neophytes who aren't on that level yet? What can we do? Well, I was at a lecture that Prabhupada gave in Golden Gate Park. This is actually the first time I saw Prabhupada. He gave a wonderful lecture, and there was a few hundred devotees and thousands of hippies. It was still the height of the hippie era in America. And this was Golden Gate Park, which is the place for the hippies, and it was a very popular place for the hippies. So there was a huge gathering of hippies that came out, like 3,000 hippies were there to hear Prabhupada, to hear Prabhupada speak and chant and dance with us and pull the Ratha Yatra carts. It was a wonderful experience. But Prabhupada gave a wonderful lecture, the first lecture I ever heard from him directly. He said, "You have all seen God." Pretty amazing. He told everyone, "You have all seen God," because Krishna says, "I'm the light of the sun and the moon." And he also said, he says, "Every day you're drinking water, once, twice, thrice, more than that," you see. Every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, immediately become Krishna conscious. He said, to become Krishna conscious, it's not a difficult job, it simply requires practice. So you drink water, don't you? Every one of you drink water, isn't it? Now, if every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. So it's not difficult to be Krishna conscious, you just have to practice it, that's all. So there's two levels of Krishna consciousness. There's Krishna consciousness in perfection, and there's Krishna consciousness in practice, sadhana, you see. So how do you get to the perfectional stage? You get Krishna consciousness in perfection by Krishna consciousness in practice. So you have to master your practice of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, I often pray, because I haven't mastered it yet, I often pray to Srila Prabhupada, my dear spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, please bless me that my every thought can be perfectly Krishna conscious, my every word I speak can be perfectly Krishna conscious, and everything I do in all times, places, and circumstances can be perfectly Krishna conscious. Am I able to do that yet? No. But I keep begging for it, because I know the more I beg for it, the more it will be manifest in my thoughts, words, and deeds. So this is called Krishna consciousness in practice. You know you're not perfect, but you're striving perfection. You're intensely striving for perfection. And you do it consistently every day, you see. It's like getting up every morning to have Mangal Arati. Don't sleep in. Rise early every morning for the Brahma Muhurta hour, because that's the potent time of the day for spiritual awakening. Don't sleep. Take rest early or get up early. And if you need some more rest, take a nap later on. But get up, be up in the early morning hours before the sunrise. Krishna used to do that himself. He'd be sleeping peacefully with one of his Dwarka queens. Actually, there'd be 16,108 Krishnas and 16,108 palaces with 16,108 queens, and 16,108 Krishnas would get up during the Brahma Muhurta hour and meditate on the Supreme, namely himself. Now, you can't do that, you see. Krishna meditates on himself, but we don't do that, you see. We meditate on Krishna, but Krishna, he meditates on himself. That's his position, you see, because he's God, you see. Now, don't be envious, okay? Well, I wish I could meditate on myself. Well, you can if you want, and that'll keep you in the material world. That's why we're here. We went and meditated on ourselves instead of Krishna. That's why we're here. But it's kind of dumb, really. It's just absolutely asinine. What I mean, kind of dumb is this, putting it lightly. It's absolutely asinine to want to serve yourself. You know why? Just look at the hand, for example. The hand needs nourishment, doesn't it? The hand requires nourishment. So how do you get the nourishment? From food, right? So you take the rice and squeeze it in your fingers. Is that how you get the nutrition? Anybody ever tried to get nutrition by squeezing the rice? No, it doesn't work, does it? How do you get the nutrition out of the rice into your hand? You take the hand, takes it, and puts it in the mouth. It goes down to the belly digests it and distributes the nutrition to every bodily part, including the hand. So, to serve yourself, for the hand is serve the hand, it serves the body. It feeds the belly. So the belly is compared to Krishna, you see. So that's how you serve yourself. You see. Actually, it's not wrong to serve yourself if you know the art. That's why it's said that Krishna consciousness is your highest self-interest. It's not wrong to be self-interested, but you have to do it intelligently by serving Krishna. You see? Your self-interest is to serve Krishna. The best thing you can do for yourself is to serve Krishna. So it's not wrong to serve yourself if you're intelligent. If you're a fool and you think gratifying your senses is serving yourself, then you're committing suicide. You understand? You're committing suicide. But if you understand that by serving Krishna, then you're truly serving yourself, then you're on the right path. You're on the Paramahamsa Marg. You're on the pathway to becoming a Paramahamsa. So there's two margs. There's the path of ignorance and the Paramahamsa Marg. So which path are you going to get on? You see, you want to be on the Tamagun Marg, going down to the lower species, or do you want to be on the Paramahamsa Marg, achieving your original transcendental form, your Svarupa, in the pastimes of Krishna, in the spiritual world? It's your choice. You can go down or up. It's your choice, you see. Just like when you go for a pilot's license, you go with a training pilot for many flights, but To finally get your license, you've got to take a solo flight to get your pilot's license. You see? So you may have all the help in the world, but at the time of death, you're on your own. It's up to you. The guru can't force you to think of Krishna at the time of death. He will instruct you and guide you to do that, but ultimately it's on your shoulders what you're going to do at the time of death. Where are you going to put your consciousness at the time of death? It's all on you. So, I don't have to worry about it yet. I'm only in my 20s or 30s. I kind of take it. I kick back and enjoy for a while. When I get older, I'll think about it. Wait a minute. How many people die young nowadays? A lot of people are dying young too. See, you never know. You can die at any minute. You see? Of course, the older you get, then you know you're getting closer to death. So the older you get, you should become more and more sober. But actually, you shouldn't think, well, it's not my time yet. I belong. No. Death can come at any time. Even little children die. So everyone has to think, let me be very serious about Krishna consciousness right now. As I gave the example the other day, you could slip on the stairs and kill yourself just walking down the stairs. You could hit banana peel accidentally on the stairs and kill yourself. You see? Even walking down the step in your house, you could die by a little accident. You see? So be very sober about Krishna consciousness. Take it very seriously to absorb yourself in Krishna consciousness now. While you have this human form, take full advantage of it. So there may be some questions. We have a few minutes left. Okay, the first one is, being introspective is important to look what is bad within us. So can't we meditate on us in this way? Certainly. You can look at your anartas. You can see, what am I doing wrong, you see? This is why we take devotee association. Devotees, we may not know we're doing something wrong, you see. It's not easy to see your own faults. It's easy to see the faults of others, isn't it? We're very good at finding faults with others, but not with ourselves, isn't it? Isn't that our nature? Yeah, I can see so many faults with you, but with myself, I don't see them. That's our nature, because we're puffed up. So that's why we need association. You see, I can't see my fault, but I can see yours. You can't see your fault, and so in this way, you know, and I can't see my faults, but you can see them. Of course, the disciples don't find fault with their spiritual master. That's another thing. And my God brothers may find fault with them, you see. You see. So in this way, we take advantage of the association of devotees. It's like husband and wife, you see. The wife can find fault with the husband, and the husband can find fault with the wife. They can find fault with each other, and that way help each other to get out of the quagmire of material existence. Why do some pious people undergo prolonged suffering before death? If someone is very pious and they're getting all kinds of suffering, that means they were impious in their previous lifetime and now they're burning off the reactions of their previous sinful activities. So it's actually a blessing. They're purging themselves of their past sins. So whenever you suffer, don't feel bad about it. Think, well, this is Krishna's mercy. I'm burning off reactions from past sinful activities. Now let me be careful not to sin again. You see? So take suffering as a blessing from Krishna. You see, Kunti Devi took it that way. She said, "Vipada shatte shatta shatta tatta jagat garo bhavanam dasadam atshad apanar bhavadarshanam." May those sufferings come to me again and again, because when I'm suffering, I can do nothing except think about you. When I'm thinking about you, I will no longer see the cycle of birth and death. So the devotee doesn't feel bad about suffering. He takes it as a special blessing to help him become more Krishna conscious. Why does Krishna in the heart of criminals allow them to murder innocent people? Actually, nobody's innocent. If somebody gets murdered, that means they are murdered in their previous life, now they're getting their karmic reaction. But that doesn't justify the act of murder. Why do people do sinful activities? Because they're trying to imitate, they're trying to lord it over all they survey. Krishna, if you want to be a nonsense, Krishna lets you be a nonsense. He doesn't force you to become a devotee. That is his kindness, to give you the freedom to be a rascal if you want to be. The spiritual master, is more kind and merciful than Krishna himself. Please elaborate, Prabhu. The spiritual master represents Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is also described as more merciful than Krishna. Krishna makes a condition. You want my mercy? First surrender. Lord Chaitanya doesn't make that condition, and the spiritual master doesn't make that condition. Spiritual master and Lord Chaitanya, they bestow mercy upon the living beings, even if they're not surrendered. Is it true that persons who had good qualities prior to joining Krishna consciousness make more rapid advancement than those who had bad qualities like lust and envy? Not necessarily. It's not that somebody who is more pious and becomes more advanced. Sometimes pious, sometimes who is very sinful comes. The Krishna consciousness becomes very advanced very quickly, and a pious person comes and he leaves very quickly. It's what you do once you get here. You see, your past qualification or disqualification doesn't matter. You could have been the worst sinful Jagayan Vandai character, or you could have been a very pious person before you came. It doesn't matter. What matters is, what do you do now that you're here? You take this process very seriously, that I have no business now except to please Guru and Krishna with my every thought, word, and deed in all time, places, and circumstances. You see, if you understand that and you realize that and you try to implement it, it doesn't matter. You could have been Madai yesterday murdering people. It doesn't matter. Now you're on the right track and you will quickly awaken pure love of God within your heart. Let's see if we have any questions from the internet people. I got disconnected, so if you had a question, it got erased. And if you had any internet people had any questions, you need to type it in again. But other than that, we're out of questions here in Mauritius. The Mauritian devotees have, here's a question being written right now. We have 5 more minutes, so if anybody wants to ask questions, take advantage. Facility is there. Think the question right now. Thank you. What is the difference between Srila Prabhupada as our guru and the respective spiritual master through whom initiation happens? Prabhupada is Param Guru for you all. You see, it's like you have your father and your grandfather, right? What's the difference between your father and your grandfather? It's the same thing. Prabhupada is my father guru, and Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati is my grandfather guru. Now, for you all, your spiritual master is your guru, and Prabhupada is your grandfather guru, and Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati is your great-grandfather guru. That's the difference. So what is the difference? Prabhupada said the grandfather is more affectionate than the father. So the difference is, you get more mercy than I do. As the grandchildren of Prabhupada, you get more mercy than me. That's the difference. So I'm envious. What can I do? I'm stuck. I'm a Prabhupada disciple. What can I do? can't change it. You all get more mercy than I do, so I'm envious. What can I do? I just got to tolerate it and say, okay, they get more mercy than me. Let me just serve them. Let me just serve these grand disciples, and that way maybe I can get some extra mercy because they're getting more mercy than me. That's the difference. You get more mercy than I do. That's the difference. Okay? Amara Puranadas. Okay? What is the position of one who sincerely wants to progress in Krishna consciousness and yet wants material enjoyment? There's no such thing. He's asked, what is the position of one who sincerely wants to progress in Krishna consciousness and yet wants material enjoyment? That's not possible. That means he's not sincere about progressing in Krishna consciousness. That's what it means. He's not sincere. One who is actually sincerely wanting to progress in Krishna consciousness, he wants to kick out material enjoyment. That's the actual position of one who is sincere to progress in Krishna consciousness. Krishna's, let's see here. Why is it that devotees who have surrendered to Guru are still suffering through their karma even after initiation is over? Because they're still getting a token reaction to their previous sins. There's an example in this connection. I forget the example right now, but Prabhupada gives an example. What's the example? Oh yeah, that's right. The fan blade. There's actually a story in this connection. Prabhupada, when he was a householder, he had a son. He had several sons, actually. One of them was a little boy. Now, in the old days, they had fans. Now when you get a fan, you know, you buy a fan for your house, it has a cover on it, so it's kid-proof fans. They can't put their hand in it. But I remember even my grandmother, she used to have a fan that was not kid-proof. It had the bars around it, but they were... The space was this big, you could stick your hand through it if you wanted to. My grandmother had a fan like that when I was a little kid. Of course, my mother didn't, but the grandmother had an old fan from like the 1940s. You could stick your hand in it. So Prabhupada had such a fan in his house where the kid could stick his hand in the fan, you see. And so his neighbor or his friend was noticing that there was a difficulty. How to train this kid to not stick the hand in the fan, because he could cut off his finger by doing that. It's very dangerous for a small child, especially, to stick his hand in a whirling blade. It could actually cut off his finger. It's a very dangerous thing. So how to train the child that he doesn't stick his hand in the fan? So his friend said, here's what you do. You turn it to the slowest possible speed on that fan, very slow speed, and let him do it. So he sticks his hand and goes, ping! He's crying, he'll never do it again. It didn't cut him even, but it gave him a good ping, you see, because it's very slow. So in this way, when you take to Krishna consciousness, when you get initiated, your guru absorbs your karma, and actually it goes up the whole disciplic succession. It comes through the spiritual master, through Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta. Your karma is transmitted through your guru, through the whole disciplic succession to Krishna, who then absorbs it. But you get some token of it left, like the slow fan. Not enough to kill you, but enough to make you sober. You have some token reaction from your past sins you still have to undergo to help you become sober and realize, I got to take this process seriously. You see? That's why there's some reaction. Why pure devotees like Bhishma and Pandavas suffered so much? Actually, for one who is a pure devotee, there's no such thing as suffering. It may appear to be suffering for us, but it's all a transcendental rasa. Even Prabhupada, look how sick he became in the final days. For the pure devotee, they're completely transcendental to these things. Krishna says that even if a devotee commits something abominable socially or politically, he is still be considered saintly. Who is what if the person still continues to cheat others? No. It's not that you can take advantage of this verse, apichat citaracharo bhajate pamanonyabhav. If you have some accidental fall down and you're sincerely trying to serve Krishna, in spite of that, you're considered saintly. Not that you become an absolute rascal wearing tilak, going around and stealing and raping and murdering or whatever, and you're considered a saint because you're wearing tilak, not like that. Is it? There's a lot of buzz around changes made in Prabhupada's books. Please comment. The editing is, my dear godbrother, Jai Dwaita Swami, who was originally engaged by Prabhupada in editing the rough manuscripts, along with others. Prabhupada said he fully trusted Jai Dwaita Swami to do it properly, the editing work. Prabhupada gave rough manuscripts. He had his disciples polish them to make them publishable in books. What you're seeing in the original books that were published when Prabhupada was here was edited by his disciples on Prabhupada's instruction. He instructed them to edit. You can see the first canon of the Bhagavatam that Prabhupada brought, and then the first canon that was published that he brought on the boat, and the first canon that was published under Prabhupada's direction in America. There's a lot of editing that was done by his disciples on what Prabhupada had originally done in the Radhadamodar temple. Prabhupada wanted his book to be edited. Now, some of the early editing work and transcription work was done by people who are not very qualified also. Just like there was one boy, his name was Neil, he was a Karmi. He wasn't a devotee. But he had an assignment from his college that he had to do volunteer work for a non-profit organization over the summer. So he came and volunteered to do volunteer service for ISKCON. He wasn't a devotee, his name was Neil. He was not a devotee at all. He's a Karmi, he wanted to do some volunteer work for a non-profit organization. So they said, "Oh, what can you do?" He said, "Well, I can type." He said, "Oh, great, you can do the transcription work. Here's Swamiji's tapes. You listen to them, you transcribe and type them out." So he did that. So he made some big mistakes also. And some of his mistakes made it into the books. Just like there is a place, if you know the Vedas, there's a place called Pitri Loka, the planet of the Pitris, the forefathers. Pitri Loka, right? The planet of the Pitris. So when he heard the planet of the pit trees, what did he type out? The planet of the trees. In the original Bhagavad Gita, you can read about something called the planet of the trees. There's no such thing as the planet of the trees. That was a big mistake made by Bhaktanil. He's not a devotee, he's just a karmi. He didn't know anything about our philosophy, but he was just doing it as a service for his college credit, that's all. So, should we leave Neil's mistake in the book? What do you think? How many of you think we should, because it's in the original book that was published and Prabhupada's here, even though there's no such thing as the planet of the trees, how many vote that we should leave the planet of the trees in the Bhagavad Gita? Raise your hand if you feel we should leave planet of the trees in the Bhagavad Gita. Nobody agrees, okay. So that makes sense, doesn't it, to correct that mistake that Neo made, you see. So there are other mistakes as well. For example, the original Bhagavad Gita describes, you all know, you speak Hindi and you understand Sanskrit a little bit too. What does Govraksha mean? Govraksha, who can say? Cow protection. Now in Texas we have something called cattle raising, y'all. Cattle raising means raising cows to slaughter them and eat their flesh. It's called cattle raising. So in the original Bhagavad Gita, how was cow protection translated? Cattle raising. Govraksha was translated as cattle raising. It's completely wrong. That's in the original Gita also. So if you leave cattle raising in there, well, the ranchers in Texas would love to hear that. Haribo, y'all. Cattle raising in it. They'd love to hear that they're doing serving Krishna by slaughtering the cows. That's great. I knew it was not, those Hare Krishnas aren't so bad after all. I'm here, I'm raising all these cattle and send them out to the slaughterhouse. This is Krishna conscious, according to Bhagavad Gita. You see? So Yeah, I think it's good we correct a few of these mistakes, and so that's what have been done. But they have to put a lid on it. They have to fix it and put a lid on it. Otherwise, every generation they want to keep changing it. Jayadvaita Swami is still on the planet. He was engaged by Prabhupada as an editor, and Prabhupada said he trusted his editing work. So the editing that he done, we should say, okay, Prabhupada blessed you, directly blessed you, that you can do this service. So okay, but now we have to close the lid on it and no more editing. That's my opinion. Some people say no, we just leave it exactly like it is. They even made a court case that they can print their own edition of the books, and they do it. You see, but it's fanaticism, if you ask me. It's fanaticism. The planet of the trees and cattle raising. Give me a break. Be a little. This is not Brahman. This is not Brahman. This is like Kshatriya, like fighting mood. Some devotees want to fight over any little thing. They want to, some way they can fight with the GVC. They just want to fight. And they're not Brahmins, you see. A Brahman can intelligently analyze things and understand what is proper and what's not proper. So those who have this fighting mood, they should be surrendered to the Brahmins, not fighting the Brahmins, you see. In Vedic culture, you have those with fighting spirit, but they're humble before the Brahmins. They don't fight with the Brahmins. So these people, they had Kshatriya movement, they're fighting with the Brahmins. This is a bogus. This is not Vedic. This is a Vedic type of consciousness. So it looks like our questions are finished. Our time is going a bit over time, so we'll stop here. And we thank you all so much for coming. I'm so delighted all of you have come. So please take this process very seriously. Become pure devotees. Pray very sincerely to Krishna that your every thought, word, and deed in all time, places, and circumstances can be 100% pleasing to Guru, Gauranga, and Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.